Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the bright, cooling voice of your local announcer as we make our way one by one and find the most enjoyable routes to the best food around New Orleans, a pretty good city to be looking for good food in, and inviting you to join us to get into that search, and we can see what we can find. 260-6368 is our telephone number, and that's it. That's the whole phone number, so we'll get you that right away. 260-6368. Yesterday, we had an unusually interesting program. People were coming back with all sorts of things, and we really had a great time. And no question about it, the reason for that is the presence of Marianne. And she just is walking away now. Now, it's showbiz time. Okay. Anyway, we had a great time about all kinds of stuff. There was a lot of stuff going on last night, too. One of them was just a big showpiece for Galatoire's 33. That's the other name of their secondary restaurant. I think you'd have to call it that, although it's not secondary in the sense of it being, you know, nothing. It's a pretty good place. They are focusing on steaks and cocktails more than anything else, but they are there all the time. And yesterday they did this program for an assortment of people who are professionals in the business, people who are in the tourism business, for one thing,
PR,
and also their regular customers, too. There were a bunch of those there last night that I knew.
Well, they were there for business. But, they were there as regular customers.
Yeah, so well, you know, that's what they were hoping to find. Anyway, we went over there and were part of that. And, you know, it took me some while to find out, but they had four tables, each one of which had four different things. And one more jump, there was four of everything. So every table had a 16-course dinner. And that was really beyond anything that I would eat in one day. But a lot of people were going through the whole thing and having the lobster and the steak and just about everything else. That was you're shaking your head as if something is amiss.
No, I'm shaking the bangs out of my eyes.
There are bangs in your eyes?
Uh-huh.
Come to think of it, that's true, aren't they? That's your trademark, in fact.
I don't know.
You don't think so?
I don't know. I didn't know I had a trademark, but I'm so flattered to have a trademark.
Are you?
You know, I used to have a trademark.
Yeah, and what was it? A Dr. Pepper bottle or what?
No, it's a really disgusting story.
Oh, and do I really want to hear it, or shall we, you know, I protect our listeners?
It's fascinatingly disgusting, though.
Fascinating and disgusting very
yeah,
rarely come together.
I had a birthmark, a brown birthmark.
A birth?
About the size of, smaller than a dime. Smaller than a...
Yeah.
Maybe about a quarter inch in diameter.
Yeah.
But it was round.
Yeah.
And it was on my right leg. And I had it for probably 40 years. And it was my trademark.
Oh. Huh.
And I was proud of it.
You're entitled to that.
I was proud of it. And then one day, it looked a little bit different than it did before.
Uh-oh.
So I went to the doctor, and he said, well, just to be on the safe side, we should remove it. So he pretty much gouged. Now I have a big scar there. But what he found when he went in was a cactus needle that I didn't even know was in there.
I had that happen to a piece of
wood. I mean, like a two-inch cactus needle.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
That,
from the cactus outside.
Well, or either of the two that we have outside.
There's a lot of them out there.
But that's all my fault. You know, I put them there. I thought that was a good idea. It's not a good idea.
You know, you have a lot of things like that that you think
me?
Are good ideas.
And being eccentric?
Actually terrible ideas. It took me about 10 years to figure out how terrible they were.
Well,
anyway,
I'll help you pull it out.
And I thought last night was super
party.
Fabulous.
Yeah, I mean, the place was filled with people, a lot of whom I knew pretty well. A lot of people who I've heard of.
Well, a couple
and then finally, there were a lot of folks who, I had no reason to know, and I didn't know some, but we still had a good party.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't go to those two sorts of things much anymore. I used to,
mm-hmm.
back when I was a
young, vibrant
whatever,
man.
Something like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, but the vibrations have really gone away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. It was it's a gorgeous place.
Want to look over the menu? I still have it here.
Gorgeous place. You brought a menu home? That was smart of you.
I think up until I wrote about it earlier today.
Anyway, it's a beautiful place. Have a great happy hour.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was ashamed when the maitre d' said how few times we had been in there, because we have to go back, because I love that place. Yeah, he had it counted. He told us.
Mm.
He had a good memory.
No kidding.
Anyway, it was really fun. The food was fantastic, and it was just a really enjoyable evening. We met this adorable couple, and we hung with them all night.
And they were millennials, do you think? Or
they were not millennials.
Not
they were
millennials.
Gen Xers.
Gen Xers.
Gen Z. No.
Gen
Z as in end of the alphabet. Gen Z.
Gen Z.
Mm-hmm. Is
that a good thing to be?
40-year-olds are my target market.
Who?
40-year-olds.
40-year-old people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mesh well with them.
Yeah?
Yes.
What good has this done you?
Well, I've had a good time.
That's close enough for me.
Anyway, 260-6368 is the number. If you would like to chat with us, we had lobster last night, which is not a favorite of mine.
No, mine neither, and especially not
good,
that kind.
Though.
You
that
like
was,
it?
Was that, that wasn't the Caribbean lobster, was it?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
It was?
Spiny lobster, they call it.
Is that what it's called?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know what? Maybe I like that better than Maine lobster, because I
Could
found
be.
It a little bit less chewy.
It wasn't the one I had did
and,
not meet that guy.
And I liked the sauce that was baked into it. I thought it was really good. I was very sad about the steak.
Why? What kind did you get?
Well, it was all the bone-in filet.
Uh-huh.
And it was all mooing when it came to the table.
Mm.
And I just can't eat.
You can't?
That rare meat. So it was really good looking, and I just really wanted to eat it, but I just could take the edges off of it.
Well, it was made the way I like it.
I know.
So I like that pretty well.
That's the way that you, quote, should eat meat, and that's how they fixed it. And so I didn't want to look, you know, like, I didn't want to look like a diva to take a piece of communal steak and send it back for me. So I just ate the lobster. But it was good. The salad was, oh, my gosh. I loved that salad. And I don't even like frisée. Anyway, it was a fun, fun evening. The point of the party was that Galatoire's 33 Bar and Steak is now on Instagram, which I'm sure all of your listeners will be delighted to hear.
Yeah, Instagram. What is that?
That's what I'm saying. And if you wanted to look up their Instagram, it's at Galatoire's 33.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we have to report on that.
What do you do?
I had more beef today.
Yeah?
I just came from a meeting.
Oh.
By the way, I came from a meeting. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use this platform to solicit.
A platform to solicit.
Yes, I came from a meeting about my children's show.
What?
The children's show, which I've been working on, mm-hmm. and the pilot is now complete.
Oh,
and
good.
It was a meeting about selling the show.
Yeah.
And what came out of the meeting was that I need a lot more money. So
what else is new?
So there was someone who actually had heard about the kids show on this show. You were mentioning it back in December, and wanted to invest in it. So if you're still out there, I don't have your name anymore. Get a hold of Tom at tom@nomenu.com. It is a worthwhile endeavor. That's all I have.
It's a cute little story. Yeah. And I'm in it, too.
It's a great pilot. I was very surprised to hear our son and his wife, who are, you know, not, well, anyway, they were very impressed. He said, Mom, I've seen a lot of pilots that have become something, and they didn't look half as good as that. Mm-hmm. So it is a worthwhile endeavor if you have money that you would like to invest. 260-6368 is the number, and so I was at Gallagher 527 today for that meeting.
Gallagher 527 is one of three places called Gallagher's Grill, I think is what it's called.
There's Gallagher's Grill. There's Gallagher's on.
This the one in Slidell.
Is it Front Street?
And then
is that Front Street?
Front Street.
I don't know. It's Gallagher's.
I don't think so. I think they're on
Gallagher's
21st.
On front.
I think they're on 21st.
And then.
No.
And then there's Gallagher's Grill.
Okay.
Gallagher's Grill is the original. Anyway, I had a burger. I'm sorry to report. Boring burger.
Well, they wouldn't sell it to you if they weren't happy about your
Actually,
buying it.
Actually, the lunch menu looked really good.
It always has to me.
Really good.
I think he's terrific.
Yeah.
This is.
Yeah, I was with a guy who does syndication. And the girl that works for him, who had just moved here from Texas about 10 months ago. And she said that she loves the food and didn't even know how food could taste until she moved here.
Well, there you go. You know, that's something that's not that's been said more than a few times.
Yeah, and she practically licked the plate. It was she got like a grilled fish almondine. With, you know, a Gallagher sauce on it, and it was really mm-hmm. good. But also there was a wedge salad with some steak tips, which was really good.
Steak tips?
I yeah, I thought about getting the some kind of grill. It was a kebab. Maybe hamachi? No, that's tuna, right? That's
hibachi?
Raw tuna. No, hamachi is
hibachi.
Raw tuna or something.
I don't. No,
anyway,
that's not the word. That's but I can't remember what the word is. So
it was some kind of Asian grill, and I didn't get that. No, it was not Asian. It was like Mediterranean, and I didn't get it. I went. I defaulted to my usual boring burger.
But then you behold it, and you get
good.
All excited
good.
About it.
That was good. I love it. I love burgers. That's why well, I always get them. Anyway, 260-6368.
Too damn much burgs.
What?
Too many burgers around here. Okay. What? I'm sorry. What?
I don't think that's for you to decide, Tom.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. 260-6368. I'm seeing that in my sleep. I'm practically like an automaton just spitting out numbers. All right. So let's see. What else do we have? What else was in the news today?
You know, I'm still recovering from the event last night. It wasn't, you know, knock you on your feet kind of
thing. I thought it was great.
It was very nice, and a lot of great people. And
I thought it was
But the food I thought was interesting because it had an old style time French cafe that you don't really see often anymore. At least not to the extent that they were doing it.
It had a steakhouse feel. What are you talking
it
about?
It does have a steakhouse feel.
Well, that's a steakhouse and an old French cafe are completely different.
Well, in some ways they are. If you would have the old-fashioned kind, you would have the foie gras, and then the other one you would have the maybe you might get the
you know what?
Hard-boiled eggs.
I didn't talk about this because we got so busy on
caviar.
The show. But yeah. Yesterday for lunch, I went in a to a four-day-old restaurant. I know you love that.
Well, at least I know who it is now.
No. That's
no?
not who it is.
No?
But I went to, in Lakeview, I went to LJ's, which is the place that has replaced Mondo.
Oh, they put that in there already? That was moving quick.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a very ambitious redo.
No.
It wasn't. It was a strictly cosmetic redo. I find this a very interesting place, and I don't know
Mondo? I mean, the Mondo.
What its future holds.
Hmm.
But
what
I
does
know,
the future hold?
I have no idea. I do have a crystal ball, but that's only for Mary Lee's business.
Oh.
I don't understand it. I know. Oh, wait. Is Doug saying it's time to go to a break? Let's go to a break.
I think he
Let's go to a break. 260. I'll talk about LJs when we come back. 260-6368. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
Thank you. Don't ask me, I won't dance. Don't ask me, I won't dance, madam, with you. Do you dance? I can't remember if you and I have ever danced together.
I do dance.
Yeah.
I don't dance with you.
You know, I should have seen that coming.
I can't believe you didn't see that coming.
And at a very rapid speed.
Yeah, really.
And I walk into
you
it.
You did. You set yourself all up for that. Today is Poor Boy Day.
It is.
You
Poor Boy Day.
Poor Boy guy, so you should take that.
First of all, it's Poor Boy.
I said Poor Boy.
Okay, you did. You did, and thank you very much.
I said Poor Boy, and you've actually managed to convince one Poor Boy vendor in town.
I seem to have done so. I'm trying to remember who it
is. Parkway Poor Boys.
Oh, well, good for them. They do a great job.
After all that work, after all those years, Tom, only Parkway. But you know what? Parkway's the heavy hitter, so.
Well, there you go.
If it's a poor boy, it's Parkway. So that was a good one to get.
All right. Now, here is my logic about this.
Okay. Hit us.
When the.
Are you going to start this with your,
your
food epiphany on the poor boy? You're not going to tell us about your 8-year-old self?
No, that's too long a story. We'll tell that some other day. Okay. But the what
we've all heard it
happened
already anyway. Go ahead.
We've
all heard it already.
Okay. Anyway, where was I? We didn't even get
started. Poor boys.
Poor boys were created because there were some conductors on the streetcars of New Orleans in the 1920s. And they were blocking. They were
strike. It was a strike.
They were on strike. And there was a lot of there was some really nasty stuff that went on. There was a streetcar that was burned to the ground.
This is what happens with strikes. Get closer to the mic.
It was pretty bad. But anyway, the guys who owned the Poor Boy restaurant. I'm sorry, the
Clarence
Martins,
and Lefties.
Clarence and Lefties.
Oh wait, no.
Clovis.
I'm sorry. The Martins.
And
right?
the Martins, right.
Yeah, I'm getting you ahead of your
And
story.
They had a restaurant on the corner of Touro and Rampart.
Mm-hmm.
Or St. Claude, I think, was actually where it was. And the Clovis, or I forget which is which, but Benny Martin, one of the other of the two, was himself a former user.
State car?
Yeah. He was a former...
conductor on
conductor,
the streetcar.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he was on their side, and to make sure that these poor guys had no money, you know, they didn't have the kind of extra hits that we have today.
They couldn't afford the food.
They couldn't afford the food or anything else.
Right.
So one of the guys at the restaurant said, if you have anybody who comes in who looks like one of the
poor
conductors.
Boys. Yes.
Just give them this, and it was some French bread and some roast beef gravy and lettuce and tomatoes, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't really have any, and it didn't have any meat in it.
Mm-hmm.
Not any, but they were real happy to get it because they didn't have anything.
Right.
And the Martin brothers just kept hitting that harder, and sooner or later they did get it, and the it was pretty rough, but by the time it all ended, Martin's Poor Boy restaurant was a big star. Everybody knew about it, and everybody was going there, and the word was that they invented this, that actually they had invented it. There's nobody else who can claim mm-hmm. it legitimately. And so they had
well, must
distinctly
have been big in the news.
It was very well. What news there was in the 20s.
A lot of great advertising for them. Here's where these guys are going to get their lunch, and so it was like a lot of free advertisement.
Well, it worked for them, and they just kept that phrase, "poor boy restaurant."
Uh-huh.
And to this day, and this is why I say it, the restaurant had a panel up on the front of its building that said, Martin's Poor Boy, and mm-hmm. it said so in the menu as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if they said it, they invented it, they get the credit. So Martin's Poor Boy restaurant, that's why it is. That's why it's not Po' Boy.
Yes, and who would have said you Po' Boys come in? No, that won't work.
Yeah, that's...
Po' Boys come in and get a sandwich. No, that doesn't work. So
no, it's just not right.
Yeah. Anyway, when did
1920s.
Martin's Poor Boys become no more?
What happened was they split up in two. The two brothers split.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And one of them stayed over on Rampart Street, and the other one opened up a much larger restaurant on Chefman Tour Highway going over the drawbridge right around there, and it was on the east side of it. And it was, as I say, a much bigger restaurant, and it was they served all the same specialties that Martin did at the other place. But it just was a nicer restaurant. And then they put up the high-rise bridge over the Industrial Canal.
Killed it.
And that killed it because they were getting all their business from the people who passed in front on Chefman Tour Highway.
Aww.
And that's what happened to them. They lasted a long time. They were open 24 hours every day, and they'd make those poor boys
Did it last long enough for you to have one?
I did go there more than a few times.
Oh, you did? So it was into the, 70s, or?
A little beyond that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
There were a lot of people from UNO who went there all the time.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
And it was just a...
What was the name of that place near UNO where you could go and get a gigantic
beer?
Loaf of bread, basically, filled with roast beef?
I have no idea.
It was, I think it might have actually been on the lakefront, but it was all the rage at UNO where people would go and get just this enormous sandwich, like a whole loaf of bread.
Hmm. Well, there's still a little bit of that around. I mean, if you go over to Katie's, they've got one from here to there.
Right, they do. What's that thing called again? The boat. It's called the boat.
Right, something like that.
And it comes through the dining room, kind of like if you would picture Roman times.
A streetcar driving through your...
No, picture Roman times with... The emperor on one of those, you know, chairs carried by six people on their shoulders. You know what I mean? I don't know what it's called. But anyway, that's what the boat looks like coming through the dining room at Katie's.
Sedan chair, we are just told.
Thank you, yeah. Doug. Okay. Anyway, I don't remember the name of that place near UNO, but if you were at UNO around the 80s and you know what I'm talking about and you remember the name, I can't believe you don't, Tom. I can't believe you weren't a frequenter of that place.
That's where my career started.
That's what I'm saying.
Was at Martin, I'm sorry, at UNO.
That's what I'm saying. I'm sure.
But, yeah, there was a...
Probably just needs to pop into your head at some point.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well...
All right, so back to the story of the poor boys. That's it, right? So,
that's pretty much the story,
okay.
And that's why I continue to say it's poor boy, not po' boy.
Yes.
And
what's your favorite poor boy?
Oh, a roast beef by far. If it's made well, you just can't beat it.
Other people, call us, 260-6368.
Yeah.
What's your favorite poor boy?
And how do people make it? In ways that you either love or you hate. There are some people who just, like, I'll give you one of my own. I don't like roast beef poor boys to be just drenched in gravy.
Yes, we've heard that before.
I want to say it again because it's something that really takes something away from the sandwich when somebody does that. To me, it's in my,
yes.
in my way of thinking. So that's one. I think a muffaletta done kind of in the style of a poor boy is kind of similar.
Don't you like a good fried oyster poor boy?
Love
a lot
it.
Of pickles and
love it, love mayo? It, love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my favorite food is oysters, and so there they are.
Yeah, so I would imagine that you would really find that very pleasing as well. The Clarence and Lefty's story, you say that that was your first. We were talking about epiphanies and food, and we got nothing on it. I don't expect to get anything else on it this time.
Oh, you never know.
I don't have a recollection of when I had my first poor boy.
No.
It was probably my father's.
Maybe.
I mean, I would guess that probably he was making poor boys in the kitchen, and that was my first poor boy. But I don't have a firm recollection of that at all. And you know what's funny?
We could sure use it. Let's hear it.
I love roast beef poor boys.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
They're
and
delicious.
I never eat them.
Well, they're big.
I don't know what it is.
And I eat pretty in a pretty robust sort of way. And believe me, I have half a sandwich left over every time I go.
You don't eat in a robust sort of way. You eat like a 95-year-old man. But you used to eat more.
Excuse
food.
Me?
You used to eat more food. But a poor boy is a large sandwich, yes. And they're making them much larger than they need to be so that they can get, what, $18? What is a poor boy going for now? Does anybody know? I mean, I'm sure there are people who eat them a lot more than we do.
The ones that I think are near the top of the rank are about $11 to
$15. Oh, is that
right? Yeah.
Oh, that's not as bad as I thought.
No, they're not bad at all.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I don't remember my first poor boy, and I don't – you know what I've decided? I don't really like French bread anymore.
No?
Yeah. French bread has crossed over into that empty calorie universe. Like, I would never go to – the supermarket and buy anything from the bakery. And so now in my, you know, goofy little brain, French bread has crossed into that territory. And I guess that's why I don't eat poor boys.
Well, the problem has been the bread for in recent years.
That's what I'm
years.
Saying. Oh, so it's not just my imagination.
No,
I thought it was just
my
imagination. Because it seems to have nothing to it.
Well,
the
bread
I find it
is,
to be very uninteresting.
The bread has a textual problem.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And you squeeze it a little bit, and it's kind of like a little on the cold side, which it shouldn't be. And it also just kind of
like
compresses.
It's like the French bread version of white bread You know how it smashes and then it doesn't come back up?
I think that's a kind of a...
There's nothing to it. That's my problem with
that,
it.
I might be overstating it a little bit, but I agree with you.
Oh, good. Okay.
Because the... Because
I thought maybe it was just my imagination. It's not?
No. Okay. It's for real.
Well, what do you think has changed? Why do you think bread manufacturers are putting out a product that's less than
the best way I could describe it is to go to a place that does it well, still does it well. Like, for example, of all places, this seems like unusual that this should even have poor boys. And every time I try to think of it, I can. It's Martin, no.
Give me a hint.
Dean Martin. Dean.
Place.
Dean.
Why don't you give me Martin Weinseller?
No, you're close. It's.
Why don't you give me like a little hint, like where is it?
Yeah. Where is it? There are several
My
locations.
Life is a game show.
There's a couple of them on the West Bank, but the one that I go to
most. DeMartino's.
DeMartino's.
Well, that's not the same kind of bread, though. That's like an Italian bread.
Whatever it is, it's perfect.
Well, I know you love it.
It's
that's what I'm
just
saying.
Perfect.
This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm talking about when I talk about burgers. I don't like brioche. It's an inferior bread to hold up to a sandwich like that. And that's the way I feel about French bread and roast beef, poor boys. But DeMartino's is an Italian loaf, which has a lot more. What's the inside? Is that called the crumb, or is the outside
that's
called
the crumb? Yeah.
The crumb is the more inside.
I don't know. I want it to get pretty crispy on the outside.
The crumb is the inside. The crust is the outside.
Right.
Crumb and crust.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the crumb on the inside is much denser. And it holds up more to the sandwich. And that's my problem with poor boys now. I don't think the bread holds up anymore.
Oh, I don't know how you would not like this one.
No, I'm sure I would. 260-6368 is the
that's
number.
Us.
It is time for a break. And we will come back after
more of
these messages. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
Oh, it's the food show. Wake up. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. We are with Marianne, who is...
I was dazzled by Tom's
who,
almanac.
Without whom we would not be able to exist. And she is here picking up scripts of some of our today's...
No, I was riveted by your almanac, which we didn't read all the way through with the poor boys. You were talking about different kinds of poor boys, and one of the things you mentioned was a liver and hogshead. cheese and hogshead cheese.
Have you ever heard of Bill Calder?
Of course. I worked with Bill Calder.
Did you?
For a
okay.
while.
Bill Calder had a guy on the air once. It was a talk show, of course. And there was this weird guy.
I can see how you and Bill Calder could be really
good friends. We even had the same birthday.
Is that right?
Yeah,
I could
February
see that.
6th.
You're like
he has an unusual style of humor.
He was unusual, yes, he was.
Anyway, he was talking to this guy who was just crazy, and the guy wanted to tell Bill something, and Bill just took it all in and said, "What in the world is this?" And finally, he says, "I want to get a poor boy. Let me tell you the best poor boy you can have. You can have a liver cheese and
hogshead cheese.
Hoghead cheese." Uh-huh. And I thought, that is the vilest combination I've ever heard.
I love hogshead cheese. But
well,
liver
I do
cheese,
too.
Not so
but
much.
The liver cheese, I mean, the two things do not
is
go
liver
together.
Liver cheese still being made, do you think?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Liver cheese?
Liver
yeah.
cheese.
Some people
love it. Wait, is that the
stuff it.
That has like a white crust?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ugh. It's not one of the big grabbers.
Yeah.
But anyway, this weird guy said that.
Well, it was a lot of
and
that.
Bill said, and he reacted to it in his usual way, and it was, I was laughing for the next hour.
Wow.
But that's what it was. It was
that's
the
Bill Calder, all right.
Uh huh.
Anyway, you also mentioned your fried oyster poor boy, and I wasn't exactly sure of the recipe that you like, but yes, it is butter, crystal hot sauce,
mm-hmm.
and pickles.
What is this?
The way you eat it, an oyster poor boy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very, well, I don't, with oysters, I don't want to stuff it with all kinds of stuff.
Speaking of stuffing and speaking of poor boys, I remember when your beloved Paul Prudhomme hit the scene and he was doing a, I think it was, it wasn't garlic butter, or maybe it was garlic butter. He would hollow out a poor boy loaf and he would fill it with garlic butter and then tartar sauce.
And believe it or not,
stuff it with fried oysters.
Well, this was something he did at one of the rare times when he was running a restaurant for lunch.
No, he had it upstairs. You
well,
they, had it upstairs?
They, that's was being that was it. But yes. What you were getting there was a lunch menu. It was a lot different
well,
from
I'll
what.
Tell you. Yes, you're right.
From what he had downstairs,
it had another name.
I don't know, but
it
one
was
of them.
K. Paul's, and then it had another name for upstairs.
There, yeah, it was something.
Something different, but the same.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that because I had just started in the business, and he was just coming on the scene locally. And I remember having him on the show, and he came up the stairs with people from the restaurant holding boxes of things. And among them was this stuffed fried oyster poor boy. And I remember everyone who worked downstairs following them up the stairs into the studio to eat the contents of those boxes.
Well, the variety of those things was really amazing. One of the ones that I thought was just really fantastic was a Oysters Bienville poor boy.
Now this is one of the things he was doing back then?
I have no doubt that he was.
Oh.
And he would do them just like you would get from Arno's or Antoine's.
Well,
oysters.
The shell is kind of an essential component of that. How could that be a poor boy?
Well, you would put the
oysters.
No, you put the bread down.
Yeah.
Preferably toasted a little bit, And then you put the poor boys, you put the oysters already fried, and then you put the oysters Bienville on top of that, and then stuck the whole thing in the oven, which is how you do oysters Bienville to begin with. And it was a really an outrageously good thing.
Really? Because the oysters, I would think, wouldn't be cooked enough, which would be kind of disgusting. Can you imagine having a raw oyster poor boy? You know what? I'm sorry for saying that. I wish we could reel that back. That's too disgusting. A raw oyster poor boy. Ugh.
Well, it was... no, that wouldn't be right.
No, of course not. No. Of course not.
Anyway,
260-6368. Tom, are you looking to do a little cheat sheet from your almanac to another page? Because I stole it. If you're looking for it.
Okay, I can always look for it over here.
We're going to move on to kumquats.
Kumquats? Oh, this
kumquats.
We may be a little early for that.
Well, according to your almanac, it says
maybe
that,
it needs a revision.
No, it's just part of the edible dictionary. It says kumquats are a citrus fruit, small orange. Typical kumquat is oval in shape, about an inch wide and an inch and a half long. Some varieties are round. They all seem to come from Southeast Asia, and records of their cultivation go back to the 1100s. They've been popular throughout the Far East for at least 700 years. They grow on bushes that resemble other citrus trees in the shape of their leaves and flowers. They are less sensitive to freezing than almost any other citrus, surviving temperatures of 15 degrees. The skin is sweeter and plump, more bitter than most fruits. That's why I like them.
Yeah, you make things out of it as opposed to actually eating them or whatever.
I don't know. I like to eat them, too. And the oils are particularly fragrant, so they're good in cocktails. Other than eating them whole, kumquats can also be preserved. It is a friendly little fruit that lacks a large fan club. I don't know. I think if people try kumquats, they like them. Now, what's the difference in kumquats and Japanese plums?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think Japanese plums are citrus fruits.
What is that growing in the backyard at the other house?
That's it. Japanese
plums?
Yeah, people grow those all over the place. Most
they grow
notably
in clusters, right?
In clusters, yeah. But most notably in the neutral grounds of fairly good-sized roads.
Really?
Yeah, it'll be right in the neutral ground.
They're very prolific, I'll say that, because the tree at the other house
this
has
the next,
a lot of little babies.
The next 3 or 4 months.
In the early spring?
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, anyway, I love them, and they don't last very long. Once you pick them, you've got like 2 days.
Like satsumas.
Like 2 days, yeah. No, satsumas seem to last a little bit longer than that. Are these satsumas out here going to be ready anytime
soon?
What,
at the Coolwater Ranch?
Yeah.
We have 9 of them.
Really? That's kind of like
a
bumper
crop.
Yeah,
that's a record for us.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And they still have a little while to go.
Okay, so, well, you said Thanksgiving. That's when you usually see them.
Thanksgiving,
right?
Yeah. Thanksgiving till Christmas.
Are you making your satsuma cheesecake for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I always do. Yeah. Everybody loves that.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that they're ripe by the time we get to them. I have them. They're still pretty much green.
Now, does the fact that you're going to change your program at Manresa mean that you're not going to have any satsumas? Do you get your satsumas
on your
walk?
They have satsumas. They have a couple of trees that still have satsumas on them. They also
on the property there?
At Manresa, along with some just regular old oranges.
Is that part of your long walk?
No, I don't. Because that would be taking stuff off of somebody else's land. Probably if I ask them, they would probably let me do it. Either that or they run me out screaming.
Yeah, maybe something like that.
But that's the time of year for that. But they're mostly gone by the time I get there, and I'm running late this year. Mm. It's just the way the calendar pops out.
All right. 260-6368. Today is Independence Day for Valencia.
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 That's my other cat.
Yes.
He's a speedster.
Yes, he's a maniac.
It's unbelievable how fast that cat can run.
He's bizarro.
It's just, I don't know how he does it.
Yeah. Anyway, Valencia in Spain, in 1237 on this day, James I drove the Moors out of the capital city, and Valencia is the homeland of paella.
What a great place, totally underrated by most people.
Remember when we were in Valencia and they had those paella places everywhere. Do you remember getting that paella to go in the little paella place?
I do.
Plastic paella.
To my great chagrin.
Why?
Well, no,
it
was just kind of goofy.
No, it was cute. I thought it was a.
No, there was a line of
paella pan.
There was a line of thinking. I can't remember whether it was yours or not, but we were spending too much time in Valencia, and everybody wanted to know, wanted to go to. Oh darn it! What's
Barcelona?
Barcelona.
Who said there was too much time in Valencia? I loved Valencia.
I think I forgot.
It's probably you.
But anyway, it probably was. Yeah. What a jerk.
260-6368 is the number. I'm going to finish this if I can if I can click on it. But I don't actually need that. I have this piece of paper.
The
here
Gourmet
too.
Gazetteer?
Yeah, I have this piece of paper, mm-hmm. and I can finish it that way.
What do we have to look at in today's look at things to be looked at?
Yeah, something like that. You know, this is actually a
I didn't even try to do that.
It's actually a huge almanac today. I mean, there's not much in it, but a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It looks like a big almanac.
In case you're wondering, what are they talking about? Every day I publish a newsletter.
Little cheat sheet.
And there's one part of it that I have a bunch of little pieces of, what's the word I'm looking for?
I'm reading the rest of that. It's funny. When you talk about Valencia, that camp or that little club uptown. Anyway, we won't go into that. Today is the birthday of Bobby Flay.
To hell with him.
Oh,
he
I
doesn't
know you,
like
I know
New
you,
Orleans.
Well, I know, and that means that you don't like him. But, you know, he's been looking good lately. He must have had something done. But anyway, he's in 1964, Bobby Flay was born today.
Oh, well, congratulations to him.
He's got a gazillion shows on the Food Network.
It certainly seems that way.
Yeah. And I think they're pretty good. I don't really. You know what's kind of interesting about him? He's not actually likable. I mean, he's not.
I know where you're coming
from.
He's
not actually likable, but he's very successful. So I don't understand that.
Well, there's something to be said about it. It's he can't be doing everything wrong.
Well, no, clearly not. But also, wasn't he around when the Food Network started? Because if he's been around for that long, then. You know, sort of like you're grandfathered in, you know.
Maybe. I don't know. I have not ever watched a lot of
Food Network TV.
Food Network. It's not on when I can watch it.
Well, you know what I think has made the Food Network as popular as it is? It goes back to, first of all, when it started, I remember what Collins said about it. He said it was television that he could watch with his little girl.
Mm.
And you know what? There was a big demand for that. And there's still a big demand for that. And so that it's kind of inoffensive television. It's the kind of television that you can have playing in a restaurant and mm-hmm. nobody's going to get upset.
Yeah. And I wish there were more of those things, because how long do you go watching football? I know a lot of people could go on a long time.
There are actually a lot of people that could go on a long time. Now, Tom, explain this one, the scientific one right there. Read that one.
Which?
Right there by my side.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's food in
it's
science.
About, yeah, it's a scientific thing.
You know those tendrils of liquid that climb up the side of, am I doing something wrong?
Closer to the mic.
All right. Let's see. Do you know those tendrils of liquid that climb up the side of your wine glass or brandy snifter? We call them legs, but Johann Andreas von Senger, a German physicist who was born today in 1704, called the effect a meniscus. A lot of people will know what a meniscus is for a variety of reasons.
Because they got it replaced?
Could be. Caused by surface tension in the liquid. Surface tension allows a bug to walk on the water and for the little beads of bread to roll across the surface of a bowl of water when dribbled. It can force many liquids to climb solid barriers. In the case of some of our alcoholic beverages, the lengths of the legs in wine, by the way, almost has no meaning whatsoever. People look at a glass of wine and they say, "Oh, look, it's got good legs." Means zip.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Okay. Imagine this. You've got a glass of wine in your hand.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't have those too often. That's probably why I don't know what you're talking about.
You're holding it the proper way.
Yeah, I had one in my hand last night. So
do we have one in?
It's okay. I had one in my hand last night.
So, and you're holding it.
Yeah.
And you're not grasping the bowl of the
right, because you hold the stem.
It's going up on the stem.
Yeah.
And you hold it and you look at it and you might see these little streams, very little, move their way down on the inside of the glass.
On the inside. Yeah.
On the inside.
Okay. Yeah, I have seen that.
Okay. And it's doing it all by itself with no stirring or anything.
Right.
And those are called the legs. But it seems like the kind of thing like, man, this has some great legs. It must be great. It is worthless.
Yeah. Why would that matter?
Well, you in wines, especially if you're really into
wine. Just a
bunch
of snooty wine people making up stuff.
Yeah, you're looking at it. Gosh, what can I say about this to make it seem like this is really
hot
stuff?
So it makes no difference. All right. And so what this physicist guy said, what's the point of that piece? The physicist guy said it was nonsense or what?
Well, yeah, because that was what the meniscus was. Now that you've pushed me off the edge, now we know.
Anyway, it has no. Okay, so that was it. So that was the end of that.
Mm-hmm. All right, that was the end of that.
Just wondering about that.
It's like there's another thing that people give attention to that doesn't deserve it, and that is, let's see if I can remember it, because I was just thinking about it today.
While you're thinking about it, I want to go back to paella.
Okay, paella.
If you wanted to get a really great paella in town, where would you go? Is there such a thing as a really great paella? And where has anyone had a really great paella?
Over the years, we have had many places that specialize in Spanish food, but they never stay around a long time.
Who was doing it, Chris? At La Provence was doing
Chris was at La Provence. He was definitely doing it.
Right? He had a big old paella pan.
He had a burner that was huge.
Yeah. And a giant pan. Yeah.
Giant pan. He used to go to the
events and stuff and do
specifically there was that charity for kids thing that he did every year. And that was really something. But there were lots of other places have over the years. Like there was a restaurant called.
I think I know what you're talking about. It was in Metairie, and then it moved. Right?
No, it was in. It's kind of like where the Times-Picayune has been
There's a guy that was doing paella. It was a Spanish restaurant, and it was really kind of. It was kind of like him-centric. It was kind of focused on him.
Yeah.
It was a rather flamboyant person.
You know, there's one that's still there. The name of the place actually is Barcelona.
Barcelona
and
Tapas?
It's around, kind of.
I think that's the guy.
I think it is, too. It's around the corner from the Camellia Grill.
But wasn't it at one time in Metairie in the place where Cyprus is now? I want to say that that's where it was. It was a place in Metairie, and then he closed and he moved someplace else.
Well, if in Metairie.
I believe it was in Metairie. I think he started in Metairie, and he was he's very flamboyant.
Well, that could be.
Very strong personality. You pay attention to him. Does anybody know who we're talking about? He was, I think, from Spain, actually.
I think he was. And there were several
Is he still operating? Is Barcelona Tapas still there?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
I haven't been there in a long time.
And I'm trying to see what his name is,
Let's
too.
See. There's a... There was one that was had operated in Old Jefferson.
There were a couple at one time, I think, weren't there?
There have been several.
There was kind of a little run of it
a
while there.
And then they'd close. They'd never lasted long.
Well, because we have jambalaya.
Maybe that's it.
And we don't really need paella. What makes a good paella?
You have a variety of things that you can...
It's meats and shellfish, right?
Shellfish rarely.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what's in it, generally speaking?
Meats.
I think shellfish is a huge part of paella.
Could be.
I think shrimp and
all the places
and fish are definitely part of paella.
We have a restaurant that has all of this going on right now, though.
It's on Dublin Street. Barcelona Tapas is on Dublin Street.
Okay. The one I'm trying to bring forth is, no, I can't remember it. It was
as long as there is one still here, because I think that there was one, and I was just trying to figure out if it was still around.
It was a block away from the Upper Line. It was in a restaurant that has been many, many things over the years, and they are doing a multi-Spanish kind of menu going there, and it's pretty good.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. All right, so in a paella recipe, there's saffron for sure.
That's critical.
Chicken broth, shrimp. See, I think shrimp is in every paella. Chicken, chorizo. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Well, not all cheese.
A lot of tomato, too.
It's not all the same.
A lot of tomato. Yeah.
Well, we'll explore some of this when we come back from the news, which we are about to go away from.
I have a story about LJs. I want to do
that
when we come back.
Well, refine it, and then we'll have it.
Yeah, we'll do it when we come back.
Stay tuned. More of The Food Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.